1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. You know, the world we live in today, and I assume it's always been that way. It was that way in the garden, where there's always somebody trying to lure you into something. Always trying to talk you into something. Seduce you. This verse is about seduction. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul wrote, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Well, what a true prophetic statement, because we're there and that's what's going on. A part of that has always been the devil in the garden trying to talk Eve out of believing God and serving God and doing things his way. It's that way today. Everywhere you turn, someone is trying to pull you in one direction or another. Most of the time, if there's a dollar involved, they're trying to pull you one way or another with a dollar bill attached to it somewhere along the line. But the devil's subtle. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And he does that, and he'll find every way in the world. I remember reading my Bible as a young man, and I was in the music business for years and years, and I grew up playing music when I was in college. Played music 5 and 6 nights a week to pay my way through college, and I saw where the devil was a great musician. Satan, his pipes and tabrets, some say was the leader of the heavenly choir. But I always thought that perhaps Satan had an advantage over musicians and singers because he was one, and he knew what buttons to push. And usually those buttons that were being pushed were pride, being recognized, wanting someone to see you and to hear you and to recognize your gifts that you have. And that's how it is. And he's still doing that today. And God gave the gifts, the singers and musicians, to the local church. I might say also that David was a great musician also, and he was a man after God's own heart. But there's so much involved in that I've thought about as a young man, and you see in the churches, you'll see young girls get up and everybody brags on them and looks up to them and praises them. And there needs to be some biblical perspective and counseling put with that, or that kid won't grow in the right direction. But you see it in every area. You'll see it in sports. You'll find the star of the basketball team or the baseball team or the football team, and everyone looks up to them and lifts them up. And many times it's sports that pulls folks away from their local church. They got too many sporting events going on. There's an old preacher, I don't recall his name. I was thinking about him on the way over here. Might have been George Mueller. He's one of those old-time preachers. Says, "Anything that distracts from my service to God and what I do for the Lord, that pulls me from it," he said, "is not good for me." And sometimes we have to take stock, and I'm talking about all of us. And you start thinking about things that distract you and pull you from the things of God. My. I wonder how much more I'd read the Bible if we didn't have a TV. Somebody said, "You're meddling now, preacher." I'm just saying, I mean, we're a mess. God, recognize that you're a mess before you can fix up that mess. Let God do it. But everywhere you go. I watched that basketball game the other night, the championship, NCAA championship basketball game between Baylor and Gonzaga. And Gonzaga was the odds-on favorite. They were undefeated. It was their year. They were going to win. And Baylor's in Texas. I forget what town in Texas. But they whooped up on Gonzaga. And then looking at the team, they had a motto that they started out early in the year. And when the season began, their motto was going to be joy. The acrostic joy. Jesus, others, and then yourself. That was that Baylor basketball team's motto. And I was reading on the coach, Scott Drew. He went to Butler University in Indianapolis. His dad was a well-known coach in Indiana over at Valparaiso. And they interviewed him about taking that job at Baylor because there were so many problems. And he said, well, here's how, the way he handled it. He said, I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I just felt led to take that job. My, 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 my. Isn't that good? But sports programs, music, your talents will take you, no matter what that is, will take you from the things of God. Got to be careful, because the devil wants to lure you away. He wants to draw you aside. The word seduce means to draw aside or entice from the path of rectitude and duty in any manner, it says, by flattery, promises, bribes, or otherwise, to tempt and to lead to iniquity, to corrupt, to deprave. Bible says, talks about lust, said every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. That's a temptation. Devil uses it with all of us. And when lust conceives, it bringeth forth sin. So we're tempted all the time. But I still think the devil has an upper hand on musicians, singers, because he'll use that all that flattery and all that attention. You ever see anyone who peaked in high school? Their whole life peaked in high school because they were a star. They were a star in band, star in football or basketball. They were the star of the show. And all of a sudden, their life just went downhill because they didn't get that attention anymore. But those things will keep you out of church, keep you from serving God, and lure you in the wrong direction. I remember as a boy going to the county fairs. We had the pumpkin show. The Osgood had the farmer's fair in Aurora, the Ripley County Fair at Osgood. Illinois, I remember going to those fairs and those carnivals. And outside, every one of those little booths was obviously a money-making scheme. You know, hurry, step right up here. You know, those guys, you know what they called those guys that would do all that? Step right up. See the amazing Teddy Rogers. He walked and he talked and he crawled on his... Remember that? One thin dime, one-tenth of a dollar. Step up here now. You, son, come over here. They called those guys hawkers. Ever heard that term? A carnival hawker. He's trying to pull you in. That's what the devil does. Man, try this out. Oh, ye shall not surely die. You'll be as God. You know as much as God knows. Being lured away, being tempted, drawn from the things of God. To get a handle on that, we have to recognize it for what it is. Hawkers, I like that. Everywhere you go today, every TV program you watch, every billboard you see, every move you make, you'll be faced with someone somewhere trying their best to seduce you and to lure you their way. They'll lure you into buying something, looking at something, doing something that you really don't want to do, but you fall for the line. And everyone been sitting around the house, usually about supper time, the phone rings, you pick up the phone and says, hi, this is Joe Smith with the Milan Fire Department. And we're putting on a big show at the Milan High School Auditorium, and you're all invited, and I want to see if you'd like to support the fire department and buy tickets to this show. What you don't know is that guy don't have a thing to do with the fire department. He is a professional pitch man. Back in the day, they referred to that deal as the telephone hustle. The guy would sell $10,000 worth of tickets. He'd pay a band to put on the show, $1,000. He'd pay the fire department $2,000, and he'd walk off with $7,000. Anybody ever heard that's how that goes? That's how it's still going today. They're not with the fire department. Hi, I'm from the Indiana State Police. No, you're not. Liar, liar. But they'll get the permission from an organization, say, we can guarantee you $1,500. You let us do this event in your name. Gotcha. Oh, I'd really like to support the fire department. I doubt if I'd be able to go, but I'd still support the fire department. But I didn't know that two-thirds of it was going in your pocket. But that's how it works. The devil likes to use sex on the billboards, on the TV screen, all that. Attractive, always somebody attractive. Oh, billboard, you can't. What are you going? When you drive down the highway, you see a billboard, you're going to go run off the road, because that there's always a lure, something to lure you to get you. When I was in college in Miami, Florida, I hung out at a studio called Dukoff Recording. Bobby Dukoff was famous for a saxophone mouthpiece that he developed. He was in all the magazines. The Bobby Dukoff saxophone mouthpiece. Well, a lot of the ad agencies use Dukoff Recording for their ads. And I was asked one time to record a Brill Cream hair commercial. I weighed probably about 150 pounds less than I do today. But the thing was, they were going to have me out in a boat with some gorgeous woman who's going to be running her fingers through my hair. And all I had to do was say, I came back to Brill Cream. Anybody remember the Brill Cream? Brill Cream, a little dabble do you. Brill Cream, you look so debonair. Brill Cream, the gals will all pursue you. They love to run their fingers through your... Anybody? Ted, like I said, the only two in here remember it. Me and Ted and Jeff won't admit to it. But the ad agency lost the contract. I never did do the commercial. I would probably still be in Hollywood if I did. But always trying to sell you something that you don't want or don't need. That's how the devil works. Maybe somebody figured out why they lost contract, that I was just too plug ugly to be doing anything like that. That could have been it. Listen, 2 Peter 2:18 says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure. What are we talking about? They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. They want to talk you into something. Now, of course, the idea behind that Brill Cream commercial is you're going to have man, the gal's going to all be hanging out with you if you just use Brill Cream. You just wear this little aftershave, and man, you've got it made, son. That's what they want you to think. But the world's filled with things designed today for the sole purpose of seducing you. Seduction. And seducing you into doing something you thought you came up with yourself. Many times it's simply the devil, just devil working his stuff as he did with Eve. My, my. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Here's our text. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know why? What most of our jails are filled with today? Drug offenders. The great majority of jail cells today are filled with drug offenders. I remember one time a lady had just got out of jail in Decatur County, and she told me of the 9 females who were in jail there in Decatur County, this had been several years ago, said 8 out of the 9 were drug offenders. Drugs. It's a seducer. Liquor. It's a seducer. Bible says don't tarry at the wine. Strong drink, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. And whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 23:29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Well, it didn't seem that bad. It'll seduce you. It'll deceive you. Proverbs 23:33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Look out. You say, well, I don't drink, but I sure like going down that river pole. It isn't the gambling that I go for. It's just kind of fun to me. Spend some time. You know what gambling is? It's a lust, and it is a seducer. I remember in high school. In high school, one night in a poker game up at Dorsey Wisman's Body Shop in Milan, that's where some of me and my rowdy buddies hung out after hours. We were playing a game called Guts. I lost $10. $10 for a high school kid was a lot of money back in those days. Man, I went home like an egg-sucking dog. I thought, man, I worked hard for that money. But it'll take you in. There's no song about the gambling man. Well, the preacher says that a gambling man is walking the road of sin. But every time I start to quit, that's when I start to win. When I start to win, rake that money in. It's a lust, folks. Some folks can't handle it at all. I had some relatives that just couldn't be around any gambling, or they'd spend every dime they had on it. Hey, those riverboats, those casinos are not set up for you to win. They're set up for the house to come out ahead. That may be a flash for some. Well, I'm just naturally lucky, preacher. Yeah, you'll find out how lucky you are. The old saying, sin, and it'll take you further than you want it to go. Keep you longer than you want it to stay. Cost you more than you want it to pay. Step right up, folks. A winner every time. Now, here's the problem for us as Christians. We usually are pretty quick to spot those obviously visible kinds of vices that I've been talking about. We know about that. We've been taught. And we're Christians. We don't drink, we don't chew, we don't run with them that do. Many times, it's those things that don't seem to be so obvious that the devil uses against us. Hey, he just uses the drugs, the alcohol, the gambling, porn, and those kinds of things just to pick off the worldly, unsaved crowd. He is a lot more subtle with someone who's trying to serve God. He don't want you serving God. Once you got saved, he can't get your soul, but he'll do his best now to keep you from serving God. He don't want you in the battle for the Lord. So he will search out your weakness. He'll search out that one weakness that you thought nobody knew about. That one little pet sin. And he'll start working overtime against you with that sin. Devil has a whole specialized set of attractions to try to keep the rest of us from serving God too. You know, he does. Remember the fellow over in Matthew 19? He was a good man, but when the Lord told him, said if he wanted to be perfect, said, well, if you want to be perfect, sell what you got and follow me. I'd have a hard time with that. Boy, that's something you got to think about. But see, there's always degrees of service with God. It's where you want your boat to anchor for the Lord is where you'll anchor. I'm sad to say there's a ton of men out there that are a lot more spiritual than I am. I'm just thankful that God's using me for anything. But we all anchor somewhere along the line, and a part of it's because the devil has used those attractions, those things that are important to us, to keep us from the things of God. My. Now this fellow in Matthew, he wanted to serve God, talented and gifted and making money. The devil just stepped in and turned that talent for making money into the love of money. You got to watch out. He'll turn something good into something against Scripture. And I think sometimes God will call a man that don't have much sense at all to the ministry. Voila. Because many of the ones that were so gifted and would have been so good at it refused. Thought of that just now with David Spurgeon, what he said. Why would God call a man like me? Because you and you and you and you and you wouldn't go. He's probably right. Look forward to having Brother Spurgeon with us. What a story. He just, a lot of times he calls somebody just off the street, somebody whose life's been a wreck. Fella gets saved and or comes back to God and God uses him. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Material things will seduce you. Things in this life that you work hard and you think you deserve to have, it'll keep you many times from the things of God. Possessions, careers, success. The devil will seduce you with anything and everything in this life that he knows that you have a weakness for. And he'll use that to keep you from serving God. That fellow in Matthew was seduced by his possessions. The devil used a woman and sex to seduce David and several women to seduce Samson. Demas left the Apostle Paul in one of the greatest ministries in the world. It says about that departing of Demas, it says in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Recognizing our weakness. Just think about the devil out there searching, seeking whom he may devour. And he is looking for your weaknesses. You need to bolster those things. Hold fast those things that you have. Be aware that the devil don't like you coming to church. Best on a Wednesday night, what's wrong with you folks? Now here in a few weeks, probably the ball games will start. I sure don't, you know. You got a lot of things you can do on a Wednesday night other than come to church. Obviously, as we say in the music business, they stayed away by the thousands. But just be aware. I said the local church is a maintenance program to keep you in God's will and in the service of God. Don't let the devil sneak up on you. Be aware of his devices. Be aware of your own weaknesses. And shore them up. Down south, before those hurricanes come, they go out and, man, they board up the windows and they do everything in the world to keep that hurricane from taking everything away. You need to do that with the weakness that you have to keep the devil from destroying your ministry. You say, well, I can't lose my salvation. I know that, preacher. Well, you can lose your reputation, lose your character. Jeremiah preached on that. Lose your testimony, lose your witness. God can put you on the shelf. Paul warned about that, said, lest when I preach to others, I'll be a castaway. He's not talking about losing his salvation. He's talking about being put on the shelf. God's done with him, using him. Don't let God do that to you, to your life. I'm done. Let's get out of here a little early tonight, I guess. Unless that altar fills up, we'll be here till midnight. That's possible.